Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Colter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, there are many people who believe in Jesus, supposedly. But do they believe the truth the way that God wants it to be? And did you know that the Word of God is absolutely true? There are no lies in it. There are no contradictions in it. Now, there may appear to be some lies and some contradictions, but that's because they don't know how to study the Bible. So first off, you need our booklet, 14 Rules for Bible Study. Now, that's important because today, everyone wants something on a text message. And many people can write a lot of text messages, but you can't handle the Word of God that way. The Word of God has been given to mankind, and only 40 writers were involved in the whole compilation of the Bible. 32 in the Old Testament, 8 in the New Testament. Now, if you believe in God and you believe that God is true, don't you think that God has the power through His Spirit for these men to write what He told them to, and to inspire them to write it in a way that He wanted it? Well, the answer is yes, indeed, without a doubt. So who is Jesus? A lot of people say He was just a man. A lot of people say that Jesus was the man, but the Christ was the one who came from heaven and possessed the body of a man. Now, that's called Deocetism. But is that true? Now, the name of Jesus is used everywhere. Everywhere. And Jesus even prophesied of that. So let's look at a prophecy that Jesus gave to His disciples just a little bit before He was crucified on the Passover day in 30 AD. Because He told them the temple and the area was going to be destroyed with not one stone left upon another. Question: is that true today? It is absolutely true. However, to show how confused people are, where the Western Wailing Wall is, facing the Mosque of Omar, they claim that that's where the temple was. But that's not true. And yet they go there and pray and bow and rock back and forth, and then they even have it that you can send a text prayer to a certain organization in Jerusalem, and they'll take this text prayer and go put it in the cracks between the rocks that are still standing there. And if you've seen a picture of the Western Wailing Wall, there are huge stones stacked upon another. So, if that's where the temple used to be, then Jesus lied. But Jesus cannot lie because He is the way, the truth, and life. So let's see His own words, what He said to His disciples concerning that. And then He talks about His second coming. We're looking at Matthew 24, verse 2. Now they're up on the Mount of Olives. They're looking down toward the temple. And the temple where the Mosque of Omar is today was where the fort of the Roman garrison was, which housed between 5 and 10,000 men. That was Roman property, not Jewish property. The temple was south of that, And so here they are on the Mount of Olives looking down at the temple. And Jesus said to them, verse 2, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that has not been thrown down." So that's the truth of the matter of the temple. But now then, let's see the first thing he said after that, because this becomes really very important. "And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him alone, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the completion of the age?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Be on guard that no one deceives you.'" Why? Next verse. "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they shall deceive many." Now, to show you that that even started before Jesus was crucified, because there's an account in the book of Luke that John came to Jesus saying, "Now we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbid them." Jesus said, "Forbid them not, for those who are on our part are not against us, but they are not of us." Now, how bad is it going to get in the last days? This is why we need to know who is Jesus Christ. And where did he come from? And why only he is our Savior? Let's come over here to verse 24. "For there shall arise false Christ." Many different people saying, "I know the way, and I'll bring you peace."
Dead to sin.
Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda claims to be the second coming of Jesus Christ, and his followers believe every word.
This is a historic event, knowing that God is here on earth.
I am the second coming of Christ, that Messiah that they've been waiting for.
We first introduced you to de Jesus Miranda in 2006. He runs a worldwide organization, Creciendo en Gracia, or Growing in Grace, that he claims has millions of followers. He preaches a message of freedom to indulge.
This message tells us that we're perfect, that there's no sin, that there's no devil.
And also, no hell.
They call you a sinner. We feel hurt.
That message, one theology expert told us, appeals to followers.
So people think of the Christian church as being a downer, as always talking about people being sinners and so forth.
The danger, Mitchell warned, is that with such devout followers, this has signs of a cult. De Jesus Miranda wants to establish a world government with himself as leader. He's also been criticized for accepting expensive gifts from followers, including watches and cars, and living an extravagant lifestyle.
And he took all your sins away.
Still, followers don't seem to care for a man they say cares so much for them.
It's a very positive message.
De Jesus Miranda has over 300 learning centers worldwide, including one in Houston, where he sometimes runs his organization. Kevin Peters for CBS News.
And false prophets. Now notice what they say and what's going to happen. "And they shall present great signs and wonders." Well, if you see a great sign and wonder take place, and you can see that it happens, wouldn't you be convinced that what they were saying was true? However, if you truly know the Word of God, you wouldn't be fooled by that, because you would understand the Scriptures. Now notice, "in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Who are the elect? Well, the Bible defines them this way: the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, they answered the call of God, They were baptized and received the Holy Spirit. They then were chosen because of that. And then they are faithful unto death. Does that describe you? If it doesn't, do you really know the true Jesus Christ? So let's look at that. Let's come to the Gospel of John, the very first chapter, and let's see what it describes concerning God and Jesus. And what we're going to see is something fantastic and marvelous that God has done. Verse 1, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now this Word is the one who is Jesus Christ. When you read in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the one who spoke that was the one who became Jesus Christ. We'll look at some of those prophecies in a little bit. Now notice verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. So what does this tell us? In the beginning, there were two in the God family. In the Old Testament, one is called the Most High, and the other is called the Lord God. In the New Testament, it is God the Father and Jesus Christ, who is God. Now let's see what else this tells us about it. Verse 3 talks about Genesis, the first chapter, about creating the heavens and the earth. So here in the first chapter of John, verse 3, it reads, all things. Now, what do you think all things means? It means everything there is. Came into being through him. Why? Because he was the Word and he spoke. That's what it says in Genesis, the first chapter. And God said, let there be light. God said, let the day be divided from the night. God said, let the waters be gathered together and sea and the lands be gathered together. God said, all the things that were created. Not even one thing that was created came into being without him. So what does this tell us? There's no such thing as evolution. Now then, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The very fact that you have thought, consciousness, free choice, and all of those things, God has given it to every human being. And the one who created Adam and Eve was the one who became Jesus Christ. We'll see more proof of that a little bit later. And all of the rest of us came into being through the power of procreation. Now, verse 14. And the Word became flesh. We'll talk about how he became flesh a little later. And tabernacled among us. That means temporarily dwelt among men, and he did for 30 years. And we ourselves beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, let's look at a key major prophecy of Christ. Now, let me just announce we have a booklet, The Prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And guess how many there are? 356 of them. That's quite an amazing thing, isn't it? All about his life, all about what he did, all about his crucifixion, all where he came from and everything like that. Let's come to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and let's see a very interesting prophecy showing that Jesus who had been God, came or was going to come in the flesh. And we'll look at some other things which show that Jesus was the Lord God of the Old Testament, and that's important to understand. Because a lot of people, they say, well, the Old Testament has all been fulfilled. We don't need to read that or study that. No, it has not all been fulfilled. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. The Lord your God, that's the one who became Jesus Christ. He's speaking of his own self. So, this also has a reference to the Most High, who then became the Father in the New Testament. I will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you, of your brethren, like me. To him you shall hearken. Very interesting indeed, isn't it, huh? Now, what was Moses? Moses was lawgiver, and he was prophet, and he was priest. And all of those things apply to Jesus Christ. So that's why he said, like me. Now then, verse 16 is a very interesting verse. According to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, so that I die not. So God granted their request. Notice, and the Lord said to me, they have spoken well what they have spoken, that is, they were well intended. Now, since they couldn't take being right there in the presence of God at Mount Sinai and hearing him speak the Ten Commandments with all the fire and wind and everything that was going on, and the thunderous voice of God bringing out the Ten Commandments. So he said, all right, I'm going to send a prophet like Moses. That means he came in the flesh. Let's read it. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, one like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass, whatever man will not hearken to my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it. Quite interesting, isn't it? Did you know that God's going to require it of each and every person? Now, that's quite something to contemplate. How about you? Verse 20, but the prophet who shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak. Now that's very interesting, isn't it? That ties in exactly with what we read in Matthew 24. Many false prophets, many false Christs, doing signs and wonders, deceiving.
I have COVID-19.
God bless you.
COVID.
Are you home? Thank or you. Are you in a hospital?
No, I'm in the hospital. I'm in the hospital, Benny.
Lord Jesus, you are the God.
I receive.
That healeth me.
I receive.
Roland, be healed. You're the Lord, Jesus. My healer.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord, I rebuke this problem. I rebuke COVID. This virus. In the mighty name of Jesus, whom I serve.
Yes, Jesus.
I command it to go.
See, just because there's a prophet who says something and it comes to pass, even though it contradicts the word of God, don't believe him or don't believe her. Now, there are many of those out there today. Continuing verse 20, who shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Now, here's something very interesting that follows that. Gives another warning, because you can tune in television, radio, and many different online websites and everything. And there are a lot of people preaching about Jesus. But are they preaching the truth? Now let's see what else he says right here. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? How are you going to tell the difference? What is it that you look to? How are you going to know? That's why here at Church at Home, in restoring original Christianity for today, we preach the truth, the scriptures, and scriptures only. The way that you know is, number one, you've got to know the Word of God, and you've got to know what God says. That's how you can do it. If you don't, and what is it that you have heard me say how many times? What is the first thing that everybody forgets but God says remember? The weekly Sabbath day. Now, I've said it many times, and a lot of you have watched Church at Home. Do you now keep the Sabbath from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown? Do you? That's the day that God said. If any Sunday keeper says, well, it's been changed to Sunday, that's not true. That's a lie. He's speaking in the name of God that which God did not say. And then you, if you believe it, agree with it, and go along with it, are part of being deceived. So you have to know who the real Jesus is. Then he goes on to say, and when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and if the thing does not follow or come to pass, it is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet who has spoken presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. See, you need the truth of God, the truth of everything that there is concerning the Word of God, and how you need to follow it. Now, let's come to Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Let's see something very interesting here in Isaiah 8. Here is a prophecy of God about the New Testament, the Old Testament, and everything about it, because they go together. Verse 19, Isaiah 8. And when they shall say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and to wizards who peep and mutter. Now, don't we have a lot of that today? Spiritism, seances, witches, fortune tellers, tarot cards. All of those things are not of God. And they say this, but should not a people seek unto their God, and should not the dead be sought on behalf of the living? Let's contact the dead. Now, there are many people who try that, but the dead know nothing. That's what the Bible says. And if they get in contact with some voice or some spirit, that is a deceiving spirit. And that deceiving spirit may have been with that person a long time and knows many things about that person's life, and can talk back as if that spirit were actually the person. And here is the proof. Verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. To the law, that's the first five books of the Bible, and also includes the prophets as well. And to the testimony, that's the New Testament. If they do not speak according to this word, that's why you will always hear on Church at Home and truthofgod.org scriptures and scriptures only, and rightly put together so it gives us understanding of what God wants us to know. So that's what we do. And if they don't, it's because there is no light in them. Who is the light of men? Jesus. They're not speaking the words of Jesus. I want to tell you about a book that we have, 300-page book. It will tell you all about the life of Jesus Christ. It's called A Harmony of the Gospels in Modern English, The Life of Jesus Christ. This shows you about the birth of Christ, his growing up, beginning of his ministry, teaching of the 12 apostles, all of his teachings, all four gospels harmonized in a chronological setting according to the calculated Hebrew calendar. Which is how, by the way, God has measured time for us. The calendar we have today, the civil calendar, the Roman calendar, that's not the calendar of God. So that's something else you may need, the calculated Hebrew calendar. We've got a booklet on it. That will help you. What you're going to find, if you are new, and if you've never gone into any of these things before, you are going to be absolutely amazed, dumbfounded, and astonished as to how far fake Christianity of this world has gone in leaving God, falsely representing and saying God says this when he doesn't, doing practices that are contrary to God. Now, you have one more book that we'll send to you free, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? Do you know the difference? Do you think that the holidays of this world are of God? Well, even the ones who practice it know it doesn't come from the Word of God. How's that for a deception? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So till next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.